There's nothing more we can do.
Please, God, send your Holy Spirit to save my son.
That is a sample of the actual film Breakthrough that opens in theaters this weekend, and it is quite a remarkable story. I was honored and very happy to be at the junket and the red carpet for this film when it was debuted in Dallas a couple of weeks ago, and it is really remarkable on so many levels. It's a great piece of movie making, first of all, but the story that it tells is unlike any other story in our modern day, in that it documents an actual bona fide miracle. Do miracles happen in this day and age? That's what some people have asked. I am sitting actually across the table from the embodiment of that miracle, John Smith, who it is his story that is told in Breakthrough. And John, it was fun to get to know you a little bit in Dallas, but I'm grateful for you coming to New York and talking to us here. You were dead for an hour.
Yes.
Tell us what transpired.
You know, me and two of my friends were just playing under the ice in Lake St. Louis, Missouri. And, you know, my mom texted me, called me actually, if I wanted to go play basketball. And I said, of course. She said, I love you. I said, I love you too. 8 seconds later, after that phone call ended, all three of us fell in the ice of Lake St. Louis.
And you were the one that was most dramatically impacted.
Yes, one was close to the dock and was able to self-rescue. The other two were me and the other boy were 25 to 50 feet out from shore. There was an ice between us, so there was no way for us to get back to the dock. So he, thank God, was rescued, and I had drowned at this point.
And the actual circumstance was that they pulled you into the hospital, and they did everything. They were every kind of life-saving measure that they could possibly try, they did.
Yes, and I mean, they worked for me for 45 minutes. You know, they just did everything that they knew to do, protocol, and on top of that, an extra. And, you know, they originally would call time of death when someone dies, but they waited for some reason this time, and they brought my mom in, and they said when she walked in, something walked in with her that not only changed the atmosphere in the room, but the physical temperature in the room. And when she prayed for me, all that was visible was my feet. I was cold, I was gray, I was blue, I was dead. And she grabbed onto my feet and she screamed, Holy Spirit, please give me back my boy. Please don't take my boy. And not a minute later, not 5 minutes later, not even an hour, that moment, I had a pulse.
The heartbeat monitor went, ding.
Yep. Yeah. And they said when she prayed for me, something rushed up my body so powerful that it pushed three nurses back. And keep in mind, one of the nurses, Keith Terry, is about 6'7", 6'8", 250 plus.
big guy. Let's also introduce our other guest who's in studio, and that is Pastor Jason Noble, who, Pastor, your relationship to John's family was what? You were their pastor at that time.
Yes, I was their pastor. I'd been their pastor for about 3 months.
I remembered us talking about that, and yep. You were unclear as to really how to initially respond because you had a pretty full day that day.
I did, and I was kind of just waiting to hear. You know, we were getting information coming in, and the moment that I needed to be down there, Brian, John's dad, had called my wife and said, hey, where's Pastor at? And I knew at that moment that I needed to be there.
Now, what had they told you before you arrived at the hospital?
All I knew is that John had drowned, that he had went to St. Joe's West, and they were able to get him stabilized, and then they took him to Cardinal Glenn in downtown St. Louis. So we had no clue just how desperate and dire the situation was. We did not know really that they were ready to call time of death to almost 2 days later. And so even Joyce didn't know that, how desperate the situation was.
But back to your mom's story, she knew you were dead. She saw your gray feet.
She saw my body, but there was so much running, like adrenaline and all this running through her body, that she thought it was really odd that a doctor was coming up to her to go say, you could say something to him. She really wasn't putting it together that I was dead. She was more putting it together like, this is a very strange situation. Yep. And so she really just went up there and just started screaming to God and asking the Holy Spirit to bring me back.
Right. Now, the woman who plays the character of your mom in this film is Chrissy Metz from the NBC hit TV show This Is Us. Mm-hmm. And she did not have a chance to meet you or your mom mm-hmm. before the filming of the role began. But she said once she did meet your mom later, it was such a revelation in her own experience, not just trying to play the character, but being reminded of how God works in this regard. Talk to us about what happened after the pulse came back, because it wasn't like you just got up and went home. Like there was a long couple of days that you were still enduring at that time.
Yeah, I mean, no. So the minute that Joyce prayed, his pulse came back, but that was only the beginning. I mean, when I walked on the scene, she was just walking out of meeting with the doctors, and the doctor said he was brain dead. There was a 1% chance that he would make it. If he did make it overnight, he would be a vegetable. They were beginning the whole organ transplant. And at that point, I took a group of pastors and Joyce.
You mean harvesting his organs for donation?
For another donation, yep. And at that point, Joyce said, I need you guys to go in and pray. And so I took a group of pastors in. We began to pray over him. There was incredible miracles that happened in that room that evening. And I knew by the end of that evening, I walked back out to Joyce and I said, he's going to be walking out of the hospital. I knew it.
In what regard were there miracles happening that you observed?
Yeah,
what
so
were those?
We walked in and we first of all prayed, Lord, restore John's lungs, like give him the breath of God that raised Adam up. And as I prayed that prayer, I turned around and I saw two angels in the room that were literally floor to ceiling.
Wow.
And I mean, they were on guard. They were there. And I knew they were the same two angels I'd seen in the ladies' room in Port Angeles, Washington, who was 85 years old in a coma. I got called in. She was ready to die, bent down. And I said, like, you are on the edge of eternity. Like, it is time to give your life to the Lord. And as I said that, I said, squeeze my hand if you want to do that. And she did. And I saw those same two angels in the room. Hmm. Within 15 minutes, she was awake and she walked out of the hospital the next day. And so I knew there was something to that. And as we prayed that prayer over John, he overbreathed his respirator. His eyes opened up. And I go, okay, God, like you're doing something in the room. And then we prayed, Lord, recreate his brain. Like I believe God's still the creator. And literally in the room, I saw millions of colors over his head, like a rainbow. And like God just started like knitting, like literally put it back together again. And at that moment, when that was finished, he opened his eyes. And like I looked and I saw life. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was walking out.
Well, the interesting thing about this is that we live in a very cynical day.
Right.
And these things aren't supposed to take place. Even in some forms of Christian community,
right.
They're not supposed to take place. But, John, you and I were talking about this in Dallas. You went and played basketball within how close to the time of the accident were you actually back on the court shooting hoops?
I mean, as soon as I walked out of the hospital, that 16 days later, my goal was to get back on the court. And so I did the physical therapy. So I'd have to say with that next month, I mean, I was
within 30 days.
Yeah, I was back.
He was totally
shooting,
clear by all doctors at 40. 40
days. 40 days, mm-hmm.
Totally
no
clear.
Sign of any of the damage. How unusual is that? And I'm sure you asked your doctors about this, but how unusual is it for that level of a recovery to come, even if you're, not if you're brain dead, but even if you just go through a significant time of deprivation of oxygen from the brain? How long?
I mean, usually you're not even supposed to be 100%. I mean, they've been searching for cases for 3 years, close to this case, and they can only find one lady that was in another country and her head was only submerged and she was only 80% healed, as in where I'm 100% healed. I mean, there's no medical explanation and that they can give me. I've spoken at multiple breakfasts of world-renowned doctors and they've all said, I can explain every case that I've seen, but yours,
it's a medical miracle. We're talking with John Smith and Jason Noble, the son and the pastor that are represented in the story called Breakthrough. It was based on your mom's best-selling book, which was called The Impossible.
It's called Breakthrough now.
It's not. Oh, so
they switched the name.
New printing. All right. So it's also called Breakthrough. But and that was an inspiring. Like Chrissy talked about reading that to prepare for the role, and she really knew that there was something. There's another part of this story that doesn't get told much, and that is that you were adopted by your mom.
Yes.
Talk to us about, I don't know what that means to you, and especially in light of the fact that it was her prayers that brought you back. I mean, you obviously could have ended up in a very different mm-hmm. place than where God has put you now.
So I was adopted at 5 months old from Mexico City, Guatemala, brought to St. Louis, Missouri, and I've been raised there my whole life. And, you know, adoption has been such a great thing for me, and it is just, it's been opportunity after opportunity. Mm. But at first, I didn't see that. You know, I had a real struggle with my birth mom and her and that situation. But it has been a great life. You know, mom has always been a prayer warrior, always been someone to look out for me. My dad, we've always had a close relationship. So this film really portrays me in a great light of what I was actually going through, struggling with adoption, you know, struggling, you knowing what my calling was, what my purpose was, why didn't my real mom want me? Because those are all issues that I went through, and I believe every adoptee in one shape or form goes through. And, you know, it's just amazing to see that my character resolves like Marcel portrays. And the end scene is me and our Marcel and Chrissy hugging. And that's just how me and mom always work things out, is with a hug and me sitting on her lap and her telling me that everything's going to be okay.
Pastor, real quick, Jason Noble, the fact that that we don't see this very often in modern life, what significance or what impact should this story have for the church? What should it remind the church of that maybe we've forgotten a little bit?
I think we need to be reminded that God still does the impossible. And if God can do it for John, he can do it for anyone. You know, we wrote a follow-up book.
Is that
too.
A guarantee that he's going to?
No, here's the deal. God will always work. He may not, the outcome may not be what we hope for. And so, like in every situation, you can always see God working. You know, and to me, I encourage people, like, don't put God in a box. Don't say this is the only outcome I'll accept. And I think that's where our disappointment comes from. You know, we wrote a follow-up teaching book that's called Breakthrough to Your Miracles, to really help people to say, how do you position yourself for a miracle? You know, and I'm not talking outcome, because miracles are not equations. You know, I mean, and it opens up this whole discussion. Like, we've heard people say, I've prayed and, you know, my loved one died. You know, and in that discussion, I mean, like, you have to trust that God has a purpose in that, and death is not the end.
Well, and God can't both be God and be manipulable.
100%.
So you can't, there's no, like, magic Rubik's Cube solution that you can say, okay, God, I did every move right, and now you have to do this.
Right.
He supersedes everything that we are and can know and experience.
Exactly.
But it is encouraging, and I want people that are listening to be very encouraged that he is still a God who still very much cares intimately about circumstances and people and families and what he's doing. And that brings me to my next question for you, John. How old are you?
I'm 18.
You're just finishing up high school.
Yes, graduating May.
Congratulations, by the way. Almost didn't get there. But let's talk about why this happened to you. What do you feel differently about in terms of your calling, your life, your next chapter, because you're still here?
You know, I don't know why God saved me. I know it was for a second chance, because I wasn't saved when I fell in, and I even wasn't saved after I fell in. You know, it took me a long time to really understand what God had for me.
So your mom was fighting for your physical life and your spiritual life.
Mom has always been the one to stand up for me, always. And so, you know, my thing is to always stay humble and stay hungry. Stay humble and knowing where I came from. You know, I'm just a kid. I'm 18 years old. I still make mistakes just like any other teenager would. And, you know, I just want to stay humble and remember where I came from, but also staying hungry for what God has for me and, you know, remembering what he's called me to. And, you know, I'm going to be attending college to become a pastor up at North Central University in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay.
But after that, I don't know. It's just me trusting God and seeing where he's going to take me.
Well, I think that's a rather mature answer, and I really congratulate you on that, because I think the danger is to read more into some of these things in our lives than what is really worth it. I can promise you this. God did save your life for a reason. We may not see it, may not know it for a while, may take you a long time to figure it out, but it's there, and the fact that you've been through this process is really quite remarkable. How has your relationship with your mom been impacted through the living out of this story?
You know, we've always been close, always, you know, to this day. I'm 18 years old, and to this day, she knows when something's wrong with me. I mean, God talks to her, trust me. And so when I'm upset or I'm angry or I'm having the worst day of my life, she'll always just call me, and I'll lay my head on her shoulder, and she'll sing to me, "You Are My Sunshine," at 18. And, you know, I'm not scared to say it, but she's my mom, and she's always taking care of me, and she will take care of me. And, you know, I've been dating the same girl for 3 years now, and she's always said the same thing. You can love her, but always remember this. No one's going to love you as much as your mama. And so it's just me and mom's relationship. We've always been close, and I love her to death.
And now you know eternity, and you know her God, and you have a life that you didn't see coming before, and it's because of her faithfulness in that moment, in that prayer. It's a powerful moment in the movie, friend, if you watch it, to see Chrissy Metz become Joyce Smith and to see her cry out to God. And I know it's all acting, and I know it's all there, but I the story is told very powerfully. And congratulations on a job well done. And we look forward to hopefully hearing good news about opening weekend. It's been a good year for faith-based movies. And, you know, Unplanned just opened, doing better than people expected. I think Chrissy's star power in particular is going to be really important to the success of this film. But, friends, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, I want to go out and see something good, go out and put your support behind this project. This is the kind of stuff we want, more of these types of stories told. And told at this level of expertise. We want really good filmmaking to be coming from the faith community. And gentlemen, congratulations, and thanks for stopping in and spending the time with us. It's good to see you again.
Great to see you.
Now, here's a look at that, or here's a sound of the film as it's going on in theaters.